This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning. It is Friday, the 24th of January, 2025. A cold start at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. Temperature of 10 degrees below zero. I am Chad Holmes, trying to wrap up this week, get to the finish line. And again, it's been a rough week voice-wise. I've used the comparison. It's like Usain Bolt trying to run the 110-meter dash with a pulled hamstring. It's just not easy. But appreciate the patience this week as we finish off this work week. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll be joined by Paul Miklik. Talk about Wisconsin sports here to wrap up the work week. We'll have at the end of the program our daily history lesson. Talk about some of the famous events that have occurred on this date in history. Talk about some of the famous folks celebrating birthdays, special events going on today. And then back by popular demand, our number for the day quiz. And we will give the quiz with the number for the day to our in-studio engineer and producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Back with us. Yep. Ian has not been with us all week until today because he was down in Florida, a vacation at Disney World.
Oh, yeah.
And does it feel colder now because you were a little warmer this week?
You know, honestly, it does feel pretty cold, especially getting in my car this morning after I warmed it up. I saw the temperature was negative 16. I think by the time I got to the station, it jumped up a little bit, but it was still in the negatives. So, yeah, it's going to take a few days to readjust to the Wisconsin cold. But
though having a one-day work week works out pretty well.
Yeah, especially on a Friday.
So come right back, get your feet wet, and then you have the weekend.
Yeah, but then I can start a brand new week next week of number.
I know, it's
Thursday
like
quizzes.
You've been able to refresh and recharge the batteries.
Yeah.
Hopefully get off to a good start today and then really roll into it next week.
Absolutely.
Would you like to know the topic for today?
Is it about Disney?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
Because
you can still tell me.
I thought about that, but it's like time to turn the page. Time to move forward.
Yeah, move forward.
We're going to move forward. And also because I saw this number for the day, and I thought, well, I don't want to waste it. It was actually one of the numbers for the day earlier in the week.
Oh, okay.
Did not mention it on the radio or anything like that.
I'm good with that. What is the topic?
It is Pokemon.
Pokemon.
Are you a Pokemon person?
Oh, I was a huge Pokemon fan when I was a kid. Actually, I still am a pretty good fan of today. When I was a kid, I would collect all the trading cards, and I watched the show. Oh, I was on a TV and play the video games as well. I'm probably gonna date myself here, but my brother Travis and myself, we used to play the Pokemon games all the time. And okay, does anybody remember these? The Game Boy Colors and the Game Boy Advance. Yeah, that's how old I am. I played a Pokemon games on a Game Boy Advance and a Game Boy Color. Just, oh, I just remember the old cartridges and what they looked like. Like, you know, there was the Fire Red, Ocean Blue. There was even a Pikachu one as well. I enjoyed that one as well. But just, yeah, so many good childhood memories. And Pokemon has definitely been around for a very long time and still very popular today, especially with the Pokemon Go apps on the phone now, because you can go to different locations in the world where you can catch Pokemon, you can train them as well, as long as you have permission to go on other people's property. Because I've seen stories on the news where people have gone into places they're not supposed to catch Pokemon. Like there was a story about somebody who went to a firehouse that was closed, and they got in trouble for that. There are people going into neighbors' yards. So it's a fun game, but just know your limitations.
I thought that might fit well for you. So that's why I thought that would be one to keep on the side for when you came back. I thought maybe you were into that. So very, very good. So that will be coming up at the end of the program.
Yeah, I grew up on the original generation of Pokemon where there was only 150. And nowadays it's over I can't even imagine, but it's over 1,000. I know that for sure, but it's definitely evolved over the years.
All right. Very good. I want to spend a few minutes talking a little bit more about what we need to do here as we continue into the future of Trump 2.0. And there was some controversy, and I'm not sure if you missed this when you were on vacation. There was a inaugural prayer service at the in Washington's National Cathedral on Tuesday, where President Trump and the Vice President were there. And Marianne Buddy, the Reverend, the Episcopal Bishop of Washington, made a plea for mercy to President Trump during the event, saying that there were a lot of people that were scared right now, talking about people who are gay, lesbian, transgender, who fear for their lives right now, and wanted to make a personal plea to the president that has this power. And she told Rachel Maddow this week that the sermon was meant as an appeal to everybody, not just the president, but people need to know what's true about our immigrant neighbors, who they are, the kind of people that we're blessed to be among, she said, and to remember them in our understanding of what it means to be an American. And it was an incredibly courageous move. And I think we all need to have that kind of courage, because this first week of the second Trump administration has been, in, I think, a lot of ways more traumatic than I think many people thought it might even be.
I agree.
So courage is needed. And this bishop, knowing that this man holds grudges like very few, to speak to him personally and to basically call him out for his hatred of immigrants and those who are not like him. And as one would expect, Trump fired back. He criticized the sermon.
Oh, gosh.
Called Buddy a so-called bishop, a radical left hardline Trump hater. The White House press secretary said that Buddy had chosen to weaponize the pulpit. and called them lies, which is ridiculous. Buddy was asked about how she was going to respond to the vitriol that came from those on the MAGA right. And she was very calm about it. Said, wanted to encourage a different kind of conversation. The idea that there aren't people out there who are scared, who are fearful, who are nervous about their very own physical safety because of the rhetoric and the policies that are put forth by Donald J. Trump, to say that somehow a lie is ridiculous.
It is.
So I just wanted to point out, as we get to the end of this first week of the new Trump administration, that courage is going to be needed more than ever. Yeah. And especially when we've seen the people of wealth and the people of power genuflect at the altar of Trump. So again, we need better responses from our leaders. And I'm talking about political leaders as well. Courage from the leaders of the Democratic Party.
You can't be passive.
Courage from those in the Republican Party that know when something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I think one of the heroes of the week was this reverend who spoke truth to power to their face.
Absolutely.
You don't see that very often. It's very hard to do. I would be very nervous doing that. It's, and to show that courage and to know the pushback you're going to get. So I'd say one of the hero of the week, if there was an award, would go to Reverend Buddy for her words spoken directly to Donald J. Trump this week.
Thank you for your courage, Reverend.
And I think
I think that all of us could follow in her extraordinary example.
The time is 9:18. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Paul Miklik. He's going to be joining us to talk about Wisconsin sports in just a few moments. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You can't always get it when you really want it. You can't always get it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Song. See, that's what he says. It's America. You gotta be crazy to want a guy like me. But we're gonna put that to the side. Heading to the weekend. Talk Wisconsin sports with Paul Miklik. Today you are the guy with the better voice. You're the radio guy today.
Yeah, I was on the way over. I was thinking that
did you bring your gun to shoot me?
No, I was I thought this was Saturday morning. on there. I got there. I thought I was like,
I'm doing my Sully impersonation.
Am I losing it? Am I losing my mind? Is it Saturday?
It's like, hey, Sully's doing the show.
Yeah, I was like, that's interesting. I didn't know Chad had Sal fill in for him.
By the way, real fast, because you were with us on Sully's show, did you pick Ohio State?
Yes,
I thought you did.
Just like I said, that Detroit's a fraud.
Was the whole NFC North a fraud?
And I said Minnesota was not going.
Was the Packers a fraud?
I just want to go back to that.
You know, I'm a real,
I was
real
right.
Real fast.
That I was right.
Real fast. Yes, you're right. But I say fraud is a little strong when you lose so much defensively. I mean, it was going to.
Actually, I don't think I actually ever used the word fraud. You said that. You said the fraud.
You used it off air.
Because you started saying it. So then I just went with it.
No, you didn't.
Again,
you're making things.
Well, I just knew that the defense was going to take too many hits. They were taking way too many hits when we said it.
Right. You know, we saw it when, you know.
That was in November already.
Yeah.
I mean, so you could just feel that somebody was going to. And it was about that time frame, I think. That they played Houston and he had five turnovers or five interceptions. And he just kind of knew that he was capable of that in a situation and that the defense was going to take way too many hits or was taking way too many hits. And they were going to run into somebody that was hot. Because you take those turnovers away, to be honest with you, they probably still win the game.
Right. No.
Even though they couldn't stop them, but they probably still win that game. So I would think that it goes back to the turnovers. You can't have that many turnovers and think you're going to win a game.
No. And there's something, and I don't know, when a number one seed falls behind, the pressure ratchets up real quick. I thought they didn't handle. I thought the pick six. It felt like he was trying to make something happen. When, you know, you got to just play the game. And I thought they I don't call it panic, but maybe try to force it a little bit, and that kind of put them behind the eight ball.
The other thing that those two coaches, their coordinators, were out the door already. And again, I'm not saying that that's like a bad, like.
You know what that reminds me of? Mike Holmgren.
Yes.
He's out the door. And they lost that Super Bowl.
Correct.
Narrow margins is what you're saying, right?
Yes. Margins. And I'm not saying that they're not, don't care.
But narrow margins in that league.
Correct. And you kind of, you know, don't tell me that it wasn't on their mind and it's not something that you're thinking of. I don't care. I mean, they had interviews before. I mean, there's no doubt that it's not saying that their game plan wasn't any good or anything like that. But and again, they do things. They always did things where they would make try a trick play that they didn't need to. They were running the ball at 10 yards a pop. I mean, what are we doing a double reverse pass to?
It's the look at me, I'm a genius.
I thought they were all thinking themselves. I mean, they always did. They always do that. Every game they did that. And again,
instead
it didn't work.
Playing solid football.
I mean, they were running. They couldn't stop their run game. I mean, those running backs are amazing. And it just seemed like they had to be fancy in that situation, and they got caught. And we said, or at least I said earlier in the year, that was going to catch up to you sooner or later in a situation, and it all caught up at one time is what happened.
Remember when the Packers were battling Washington for that spot? Could the Packers have been Washington?
I don't think they were hot, so I think they would have had offensively, defensively they're fine, but offensively I don't think they would have. They keep on saying, I read it again, and I know like the Halfley, they're like, next year he's gonna be a head coach, so the Packers got to go, they got to go do it this year. I want to know is that, did anybody think that he was even going to be in the NFL at this time last year?
Talking about Halfley?
Yeah.
Oh.
So now he's going from a guy that wasn't even in the NFL to a guy that they're saying is, well, the Packers probably got 1 year with him yet, and he's going to be a head coach somewhere.
And frankly, I don't think he's irreplaceable. Is he this once-in-a-lifetime defensive coordinator?
I I don't see us. I mean,
even if they were great this year, come on, there's got to be something. I mean, no, it's not. It has, well, whatever. I mean,
but what's ironic is that they got better in the secondary. Okay, and I'm no Joe Barry fan because I'm not. But if Joe Barry had that secondary, or that safeties that they had this year, he would have been better too. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, but I
and was, a linebacker.
But I'll say as well. I think Halfley deserves some of that credit beyond just getting the personnel.
You think? Okay, I mean, I'm not disagreeing. I think he's doing fine. I think he's a fine defensive coordinator.
But this idea that he's a slam dunk head coach, yeah, I don't agree with that.
I mean, Cooper ended up being our best linebacker. Okay, so he was drafted. Our best secondary was McKinley, and he came for free agency. And then the other guys were drafted. I mean, their best players were guys that weren't on the team last year defensively. Let's throw the defense alignment coach under the bus and say that he was the problem because we didn't have enough pressure. You know, where I don't think if we had the correct talent.
Boy, I'm just not a big fan of. I mean, again, there could be a guy that is just not good. You know, that line, I don't know. But it always comes across to me as, well, we didn't make, so we got to do something here. Again, I hate that.
Wasn't he a carryover?
I don't know.
I'm almost positive he was a carryover. And that's the only thing that kind of irks me.
Okay, very good. Going to take a break. We're going to bring in the trainers, get my voice back, and we'll come back with more.
Sounds good, Chad.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
North take on the Merrill Blue Jays in a Wisconsin Valley Conference matchup. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app, starting with the pregame show at 7 and the opening tip at 7:15. Wausau West High School Boys Basketball on WXCO is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Coast to Coast Marketing. It's Wausau West at Merrill in high school boys basketball. Friday night, 7 o'clock for the pregame, 7:15 for the opening tip. On your home for high school sports, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
I think I should let Ian introduce everything.
I think so.
Welcome us back, Ian.
He's back on vacation.
Yep. Welcome back to the Chad Holmes Show, people. Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 FM, 1230 AM, online at WXCO.FM. Had to pause there for a second. Also on the Civic Media app as well. It's a beautiful sunny day.
10 below.
It's freezing. At least the sun's out.
There you go. See?
There you go.
Some of the heavy lifting over there.
And when you get below zero, I don't even think you have to. I think I'm with Ian. You don't need to. Yeah, I don't need to exactly 10 or 11 below. It's cold.
You remember the, I'm sure you've seen Groundhog Day with Bill Murray?
Once or 100 times, yeah.
Then every day the radio comes on and the announcer goes, "It's cold."
Yep.
I played that earlier in the week. I should have had it on the hotkeys today.
Yes. Should have had that. Yeah. How would you get some of those? Like some of those
drops.
Drops. Yeah. How would you get some of those? That's what they're called.
I will get the work on that.
Yeah, get the work on that. I'd like to see some drops in here when we, you know.
For you, special drops.
Drops. Just anytime you hear something, you know, you could have, you know, some previews for drops for future shows you have with Sully's show. You can have drops. You could have drops everywhere. I think you should.
I will work on that.
I think spice it up.
There you go.
Ian, you going to help him out with that?
I can help with that.
Yes, yes.
Let's talk about the Bucks. Back on the up.
Well, it helps when you got five games at home in a row.
It does, but at the same time,
they are.
You like to, you know, they've been playing well. And they picked up three games on Boston in the last 10. They picked up three games on the Knicks in the last 10. They're starting to move up. They have a chance to move up.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that game got canceled the other day.
But they'll play
eventually.
Game.
They'll play, well, hopefully, sometime. But so they won five games at home and got them from 20-17 to 25-17. And now they go on the road seven of the next eight games on there. Yeah. And these first four, they can win all four of them, or at least they're going to have to go out there and win three out of four. They have they start with the Clippers, which might be the best team of the group, and then they got two games in there that they need to win. They end up with San Antonio. So what you're hoping for is that you win three out of four. You come back home against a good Memphis team. You win that one. You go for four out of five, and then you go on the road against the best team in the NBA, and you put that in a loss column. And then you got Charlotte and Atlanta, and you hope to get one out of two, if not both of those games. So out of those eight games, if you can go like 5-3 during these eight games, then we're going to say we're going in the right direction.
Don't even have to get on the plane.
What?
5-3 to stay home. 5-3 will.
If they can get to 5-3.
I know.
I mean, it's not going to be. Because they can easily lose all these games.
But, no. Yeah, I understand that. But as a team, even beyond the schedule and everything, home games, road games, it feels like there's something coming together a little bit that I get a sense they kind of know who they are more than. They kind of figure out, okay, Chris, this is going to be your role when you're able to play. It just feels like, you know, Dame and Giannis have developed a better on-court rapport, I think. It just feels like it's come together a little bit.
I think they are who they are right now. I don't think anything is different. I don't see anything. I mean, Middleton was out last night.
Yeah.
But they kept there. Now they have him coming off the bench. I think that was a wise move coming off there. He's better with that second tier group coming off. So he shrunk that bench down. Connaughton played last night. You know, I don't know if because now it's starting to get hot that they're going to try to make a trade. Yeah. I just don't know if any trade at this moment. I think they're better off going with what they are.
Yeah, sometimes I agree 100% with that. You know, Jimmy Butler's been thrown out there. I just don't. He's combustible.
Well, they talked about the Viner Chicago. They're talking about. I mean, all these trades any of these trades are going to have to get rid of, which is not like a bad thing, but. Connaughton will be gone. Milton will be gone. And maybe Portis might be gone. So are we getting better if we do that? I don't know.
Those types of players, too, there's only one basketball. That's why, you know, back in the day, the Tucker-type player that doesn't need the basketball.
Correct.
Is the one that they probably still need as much as anything.
Correct. If they can get something, that's why I think if they get somebody lower on that, I think that would be better. That's just my gut.
I mean, again, you got some high-volume guys on that offense already, and the last thing you need is another high-volume guy.
Yes, correct. And I don't think that would be good for him. I mean, because Middleton kind of needs the ball. That's part of the problem. Portis needs the ball when he's out there, too. And they're kind of starting to work it, where if you threw a guy that I just don't think it's going to gel. At this point in time, I think you're right. They're going in the right direction. They are what they are. Can they win a championship? Eh, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if they can. But their best shot might be just to leave it alone.
Right. No, I agree.
Because Milton, you see Milton and Giannis always on the bench together. You see those guys. You see Connaughton. He's being the ultimate pro on there, and he's a good. You lose that continuity. I don't think they get better if they get rid of those guys. That's just my personal feeling.
I agree. College tonight, Marquette back in action, taking on Villanova at Fiserv. Had a inexplicable loss, I thought, to Xavier last weekend. Bounced back, beating.
But Xavier almost did beat.
The first time. They almost beat Marquette the first time around. Because the first time they played, Xavier came from a double-digit deficit, took the lead with a couple minutes left before Marquette came back. But no, Xavier is always a solid program, yes. But you're at home, you're undefeated, you had a big, long win streak. It was just surprising in that sense.
Xavier is starting to play better, and I think they were predicted to be up there. I just don't know how Marquette. Sometimes Marquette, it's a little concerning, is that they can go on. If Cam Jones is not playing at a high level, they can look. I don't want to say just above average, but they can come back to earth very quickly. A lot of it banks off of how he's playing, and if he's not playing at that high level, you know. But it was nice to see the other night. Gold was getting hitting some threes and getting some stuff. They need more balance. They need 5, 6, 7 guys. They need some guys coming off the bench that can play and give that energy. I thought they even struggled early, really early in that game, and then they started pulling away, and then they got sloppy again at the end. But they, I don't think they're quite at the level that they were last year, and I think some people might be disagree. You lost two NBA guys. I mean, so it's not like they didn't lose anybody, but they have to. That was a game where you actually wanted to, before you hit, you have a couple of big games coming up against St. John's and Connecticut. Mm-hmm. You wanted to get a little padding, and you lost that padding with that loss.
Badgers, after being on the coast, home against Nebraska Sunday, Badgers just moving along. I mean, really solid.
They're really playing good basketball, even in that loss.
Right.
Even in that loss. It's tough. I mean, I don't know. And Maryland and Illinois last night. What I'm getting at is there's so many teams. Well, there's so many teams in that conference, but there's so many teams in that middle bracket. Well, even Minnesota, if you want to go all the way down to the bottom, Minnesota beat Michigan, who was undefeated right at the time. So, but there's so many teams in that middle bracket. Any road win's going to be. When you look at the schedule, when you looked at them going to the West Coast, if they got one out of two, you'd be happy. Then you got to come back and beat Nebraska here this weekend, and then you go back on the road against Maryland and Northwestern. And then, you again, where you hope to take one out of two. If you can win your home games and take one out of two on the road here and there, you're going to be successful. And that's what – but they're really playing at a high level. Tanji did not score in the game against USC, and then he was like 8-for-9. Against UCLA, they got guys that Blackwell's playing. I mean, he's legit. He's up there, and they got the bigs that are playing very well in the middle. They have a real good team. UCLA needed that win, I think, more than Wisconsin did.
Question: how closely do you follow college basketball generally? Could you name the top five in the country?
No.
And it's because it's interesting, because neither could I, because I just pulled it up just because I thought, hey, who's at the top?
And then actually some of them are SEC teams. I know that.
Three of the top five.
Yep, that I do. I follow, but it changes every week.
I thought that was a football conference.
Well,
Iowa State's number three. That's one of the Marquette losses.
Yes, yep.
Duke is number two, and I was surprised because I did not follow it. I thought, oh, Duke, I guess, is back.
But all those teams have weaknesses.
Oh, four of the top six are SEC, because Tennessee's number six.
Correct. And Illinois almost beat Tennessee at home earlier in the year. I mean, they're all kind of there's going to be good balance. I think a lot of those teams in the top 25 are going to be able to beat each other pretty regularly here, especially in conference play, because obviously those SEC teams are going to play each other and they're going to lose some of those games, and that's how it's going to be. Where's Michigan State at there?
Michigan State is number 8.
And that's and you got Illinois and you got Michigan. All of those teams are solid. I mean, Illinois, Marquette had a win against Maryland.
Illinois 17, Wisconsin 18. Oh, what were you saying?
Well, I mean, because Maryland, who gave Illinois everything they could handle last night, did they end up winning that game, Illinois?
That's a good question.
Because Maryland was up about halfway through that second half. But it was at Illinois, and I would assume that they won.
91-70, Maryland.
So Maryland did pull away.
Yep.
And that was at Illinois.
And that's Illinois' third loss in the last four games.
That's an impressive. I mean, that's what I'm getting at is Maryland.
Depth.
There's so much depth in that conference. Anytime you can get a road game, you got to win those home games. And anytime you get on a road and get one, that's why that USC one was huge. And it would have been nice to sneak out that UCLA one. And in that first half, they were a little uncharacteristic. They had like too many turnovers. So it was almost, I think they ended up the game with 13 and, they scored 10 points off it. And that's uncharacteristic for a Wisconsin team in that situation, in that big of a game, to do that.
Getting towards February. We're going to get through that winter fast for you.
Well, and you got to get better.
I know. We're going to try in the next day or so. I'm not going to spread anything.
Do you got a game tomorrow?
No.
So you got a little time off.
We have our holiday party, though.
Well.
At least I won't have to.
Talk.
I'll just.
Well, you should if you want to be social, but.
The owner of the station's going to be there, so I got to kind of say hello.
Oh, yeah. So what's your big, is this your Christmas holiday?
Got to go to Eau Claire for it.
Interesting.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's good. Well, you got a bonus or something, maybe?
You just can't talk about stuff like that. See you next week.
Have a great weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Bring us back.
Welcome back to the Chad Holmes Show on Bofo's Radio, 98.9 FM at 12:30 a.m. online at WXCO.FM and on the Civic Media app as well. We're reaching the end of the week.
It is the 24th of January, 2025.
Mm-hmm.
So what day of the year is it?
Oh, gosh, you made me do math this early.
Ian, we're in the first month of the year.
Oh, I'm messing with you. It's the 24th a day.
And that means there are 341 days remaining in the year. We're just flying right by this year, aren't we?
We really are. We're almost to the end of the month already.
And a number of famous events have occurred on this date in history.
Mm-hmm.
Let me find them first. On this date in 1935, the first canned beer went on sale. The American Can Company and Gottfried Krieger Brewing Company collaborated to package 2,000 cans of Krieger's Finest Beer and Krieger's Cream Ale. It was an immediate success. Nice. By the end of 1935, most major breweries had begun using cans. On this date in 1984, the first Apple Macintosh went on sale. On this date in 2003, the United States Department of Homeland Security officially began operation. I'm sure you are aware of this one. Mm-hmm. 2006 on this date, Disney agreed to purchase Pixar.
Yes, I remember that historic day.
And on this date in 2018, former U.S. Olympic team doctor Larry Nassar was found guilty of molesting over 150 girls. Mm-hmm. He was sentenced up to 175 years in prison. Some famous folks are celebrating their birthdays today. Neil Diamond, 84 years old. Mm-hmm. Former Olympic gymnast Mary Lou Retton is 57. Actor Ed Helms is 51. Kristen Schaal, comedian, also Carol on The Last Man on Earth, 47 years old today. Misha Barton of The OC, 39. And somebody who's been in the headlines, Justin Baldoni, been in some trouble, but it is his birthday. He's 41. And if you out there celebrating your birthday,
happy birthday to all of you. Hope you stay warm out there too.
Special events today. Mm-hmm. Beer Can Appreciation Day. Belly Laugh Day. Macintosh Computer Day. Just Do It Day.
Yep. That's the Nike motto right there. Yep. Just do it.
Activity Professionals Day. Compliment Day.
Oh, yeah. It's always nice to give someone a compliment. A compliment that does not cost anything.
Exactly. Peanut Butter Day. Mm. Talk Like a Grizzled Prospector Day. Talk Like UConn Cornelius. You know UConn?
It's not always easy to do, but it's a lot of fun.
I would do it normally, but today it might kill me. But the voice, my way, it is today.
Yeah, save your voice. Yep.
All right. Yes. It is time. It's been a week.
Oh, yes.
We've missed it. Number for the day.
Oh, yeah.
And our
Pokemon.
Number.
Pokemon.
And again, we give Ian three choices for the number for the day quiz. Based on the math, he should get one out of three right. So basically, on a normal week, mm-hmm. need to get two out of five to get a passing grade, be above 33%. We yep. want him to have a winning week, which is more right than wrong.
Yep, as a 3 out of 5, my best week is 4 out of 5, and I'm still looking for that perfect week, the holy grail, the 5 out of 5. But if I get today right, I'll be on the right track, because I'll get a 1 out of 1. So that'd be a good
be a perfect week
start.
All right,
it would. Pokemon is the topic.
Yep, Pokemon.
All right, what is the question?
The number for the day is, what is the total number of Pokemon cards produced since the game's launch?
Number of cards produced since the game's launch.
Is the okay. correct answer. 6.4 billion. Okay. Is the correct answer. 64.8 billion. Is the correct answer. 648 billion.
Okay.
6.4 billion, 64.8 billion,
or 648
billion.
How many Pokemon cards produced since the game's launch? Okay. 6.4 billion, 64.8 billion, or 648 billion. Okay. Well, there is a lot of cards out there, so I'm going to just adjust my gut here. I'm going to say that there are 64.8 billion. I'm going with B is my final answer. Going with the middle number for this answer.
All right. Correct total. Pokemon cards produced since the game's launch, 64.8 billion.
I was right?
You're right.
I was right.
One for one.
Yes.
A perfect week.
Oh, my gosh.
But
it happened.
Oh, we're not going to.
Well, 1 out of 1.
We're not going to make. It's a perfect week, but
yeah,
with an asterisk.
Yep. With an exception.
But doggone it, you still got to celebrate it, right?
It's a good step in the right direction.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Yes. It's great to be back. Have a great weekend, everybody. And Chad, I hope you get your voice back.
We're going to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
Matt and Air on Air coming up next. You're on 98.9 WXCO.
Have a good day, everybody.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.